Millions of people around the world believe that deceased friends, relatives, and enemies are right now burning in the flames of hell. Others who consider themselves the intellectually enlightened condemn such beliefs as superstition. What is the truth? Is there anyone right now suffering the torments of hellfire? What does your Bible say? Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World presents Roderick C. Merida, Richard Ames, John O'Gwen, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Richard Ames explains who is burning in hell. And now, Richard Ames.
Warm greetings to you all. Many people around the world believe in an ever-burning hellfire. They believe that the unsaved departed souls go to a fiery hell and suffer torment forever and ever. The Bible certainly tells us that there is a judgment. If you have your Bible, turn to Hebrews 9, verse 27. Here we learn a profound truth. Hebrews 9, verse 27. It is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment. Every human being on earth will be judged. You and I will be judged. In fact, God is right now judging His church, as it tells us in 1 Peter 4:17. But He'll also judge the whole world in the final judgment, or the white throne judgment, as it's called. That's described in Revelation, the 20th chapter. That judgment takes place 1,000 years after the second coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And what will be the fate of the wicked? Will they burn forever in hellfire? Are the departed souls of the wicked suffering torments somewhere under the earth right now? And perhaps you've wondered, who is burning in hell? On today's program, we'll give you the surprising answer. And we'll be offering a free booklet that will give you the biblical references on the subject. This booklet will give you hope for your unsaved relatives and friends. It's titled, Is This the Only Day of Salvation? Be sure to write down the phone number and address to order your free copy. What do people believe about the afterlife? What do you believe? We already read from the Bible in Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment. So there will be a resurrection to judgment sometime after death. The question is, will judgment take place immediately after you expire your last breath, or later in the resurrection? Again, if you have your Bible, turn to John 5 and verse 28. Jesus said, Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear His voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation or judgment, as it is in other translations. What is that judgment? Is it an automatic slide into hellfire? We'll see what the Bible has to say about this subject. But first, let's see what people believe about the nature of hell. The Barna Research Group reports the following, quote, While there is no dominant view of hell, two particular perspectives are popular. 4 out of 10 adults believe that a hell is a state of eternal separation from God's presence, 39%. And 1/3, 32%, says it is an actual place of torment and suffering where people's souls go after death. A third perspective that 1 in 8 adults believe is that hell is just a symbol of an unknown bad outcome after death, 13%. Other respondents were not sure or said that they do not believe in an afterlife, 16%, end of quote. What is the truth? What does the Bible really say? Let's understand, there is a judgment for every human being. If you have your Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Yes, we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. There is reward and punishment. And the Bible teaches that a lake of fire will be the ultimate punishment. Yes, the incorrigibly wicked will face a fiery judgment. They will be utterly burned up and destroyed and not tormented forever, as we'll see. As a minister, I've performed many funerals. Sometimes family members believe a relative was not saved because he or she belonged to a different Christian denomination. I've seen their agony because they believe their brother's or sister's immortal soul was writhing in pain, suffering the torments of hellfire. As shocking as it may seem, your Bible teaches that there is no immortal soul. In fact, the expression immortal soul never appears in the Bible. I challenge you to find that expression in your Bible. Now, the Bible does teach that there is a spirit in man. The Apostle Paul points that out in 1 Corinthians 2. We've covered that subject in previous programs. But the spirit in man is not an immortal soul. Have you ever read what Jesus said in Matthew 10 and verse 28? Matthew 10 and verse 28. If you don't have a Bible handy, at least write down the scriptural reference. Matthew 10, 28. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Do you believe the Bible? Do you believe your Savior? He plainly states that God is able to destroy the soul. Just where did the concept of souls burning in fire come from? Some ideas came from pre-Christian concepts, but the common idea of hell was popularized by the famous poem by Dante Alighieri, La Divina Commedia, or The Divine Comedy. It was written between 1302 and 1321 when Alighieri died. His poem consists of three parts: Inferno, Purgatorio, and Paradiso, or Hell, Purgatory, and Paradise. The poet Virgil guides Dante on his journey through hell. At the entrance to hell is the foreboding sign, "Abandon all hope, you who enter here." Virgil tells Dante about his tour in hell. Quote, "I'll be your guide, and you will follow me, and I will lead you through a world of pain, where dead souls writhe in endless agony and clamor as they cry to die again." That's from Canto 1, page 24. Dante wrote his La Divina Commedia as an allegory to teach certain principles and lessons. The content also reflects the politics and history of Dante's contemporary Italy. His poem is not a literal reflection of the Bible's teaching on hell. Sadly, many have come to falsely believe the images painted by Dante in his poem to be literal. They are not. Now, what does the Bible teach about hell and the afterlife? Let's review some basic fundamental scriptures with which you may be familiar. Perhaps you've just read over them, taking for granted what your church taught you or what your parents taught you as a child. Turn in your Bible to Romans 6, verse 23. Romans 6, verse 23. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Notice the sobering contrast here. On the one hand, sinners earn death, not life. On the other hand, God's gift is eternal life through Christ our Savior. Life on the one hand, death on the other. Notice the scripture does not say the wages of sin is immortal life in the flames of hell. Read it in your own Bible. The wages of sin is death, D-E-A-T-H, the absence of life. Why is it that some Bible teachers try to tell you that up is down and right is wrong and death is not death but life? You need to find the answers in your own Bible. You need to understand the truth about hell. Just what is hell? We'll discuss that in the second part of our program. But first, I'd like to offer you our free, amazing booklet titled, "Is This the Only Day of Salvation?" What will happen to the billions of human beings who have never known true Christianity? What will happen to those who have never surrendered to the true Jesus Christ of the Bible? Are they doomed to burn in hell forever? The surprising truth of your Bible gives hope for the masses of humanity whom God allowed to be blinded. there's hope for some of your relatives and friends whom you maybe thought were lost forever. Let's understand, God is just and fair. He has a plan to resurrect billions of people who never even heard the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. God will open their minds to understanding. You can read about that resurrection to judgment in Revelation 20, verses 11 through 12. It's called the White Throne Judgment. Some of you may have never even heard of it. You can learn more about God's great plan in this vital booklet. You can learn the truth about hell and the afterlife. So pick up the telephone right now and request your free eye-opening booklet, Is This the Only Day of Salvation? This free booklet will give you more biblical references in your study of hell, life, and death, and the White Throne Judgment. You need to know more about your future and the future of your loved ones. So call or write today. Just ask for the booklet on salvation.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insight on today's important issues. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
In the first part of our program, we saw that many believe in hell as a place of fiery torment, where human beings will suffer for all eternity. But how does that belief stand up to Jesus' own teachings? Let's see what Jesus said in the most famous verse in the Bible. It's called the Golden Verse, or the most precious verse, John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Again, we see the contrast between life and death. On the one hand, everlasting life. On the other hand, perishing. To perish means to be destroyed or to come to nothing. Jesus came that we might not perish or be dead for eternity. He came that we might not be destroyed forever or lose our life forever. The book of Ezekiel also emphasizes this truth, that the soul can be destroyed, as Jesus said. The Creator God is speaking through the prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel 18, verse 4. Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father, as well as the soul of the Son, is mine. The soul who sins shall die. God repeats this truth in verse 20. The soul who sins shall die. And we've seen that Jesus clearly stated in Matthew 10, 28, that God is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. The soul is destroyed in hell, Jesus said. It doesn't continue to live in torment. The Greek word translated hell in Matthew 28 is Gehenna. The word Gehenna is derived from the Hebrew expression Gehinnom, which means the Valley of Hinnom. The valley is on the south side of Jerusalem. I've been there several times. Anciently, the Valley of Hinnom was used as a place to dump refuse. Fires burned continuously and fed on the refuse. Gehenna then became a symbol of a place of judgment associated with fire. The Greek word for Gehenna is used by the gospel writer Matthew in Matthew 5, verse 22. Matthew 5, verse 22. Jesus said, But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, You fool, shall be in danger of hellfire or Gehenna fire. Jesus was saying that those who have an unrepentant, murderous attitude would be in danger of Gehenna. As we'll see later, Gehenna refers to the lake of fire, where the unrepentant wicked are burned up and suffer the penalty of eternal death. Many religious people have asked the question, where is hell? In one sense, the Valley of Hinnom was a location of hell. But the word hell is misleading because there are four words, one in Hebrew and three in Greek, translated hell in the English Bible. and each has a different meaning. What's incredible in most discussions of the subject of hell is the assumption that the word hell automatically means eternal fire. That can be very, very misleading. The next time someone discusses the subject of hell with you, ask him the question, which hell are you talking about? There are four words translated hell in the Bible, with three different meanings. In the King James translation of the Bible, the Hebrew word often translated hell is Sheol, which simply means pit or grave. It does not mean a place of ever-burning fire. The Hebrew word Sheol occurs 65 times in the Old Testament, and in the King James Version, it is translated as grave 31 times, hell 31 times, and pit 3 times. The New International Version of the Bible translates the word Sheol as grave and never translates Sheol as hell. The word Sheol simply means pit or a grave. So if we ask the question, who is burning in hell, if we mean Sheol, the pit or the grave, the answer is no one. In the New Testament, there are three Greek words translated hell, and each has a different meaning. They are Hades, Gehenna, and Tartarus. The Greek word Hades also means grave or pit, as does the Hebrew word Sheol. It does not mean a place of fire. So when someone says the word hell, it could simply mean, based on the Bible, the grave, not an ever-burning fire. In fact, both the New King James Version and the NIV, as well as other more up-to-date translations, often leave the word Hades untranslated. Be sure to underline those words in your Bible as you study the subject. We've already seen that the word Gehenna refers to the fire that will destroy the soul. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 10:28. The fourth word translated hell in the Bible is based on the Greek word Tartarus. This denotes a condition of restraint, and it does not apply to humans, but to fallen angels. Notice 2 Peter 2 and verse 4. 2 Peter 2 and verse 4. God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. Here is the explanation given in an expository dictionary of biblical words by W.E. Vine. Quote, the verb tartaru, translated cast down to hell in 2 Peter 2:4, signifies to consign to Tartarus, which is neither Sheol nor Hades nor hell, but the place where those angels whose special sin is referred to in that passage are confined to be reserved under judgment. The region is described as pits of darkness in the Revised Version. What then is hell? From the biblical perspective, it's three different places or conditions. First, Sheol in the Hebrew, or Hades in the Greek, means pit or grave. Second, Gehenna means the Valley of Hinnom. Symbolically, it refers to fiery judgment. And thirdly, Tartarus, which signifies the confining of fallen angels. So you see, to use the word hell for all three meanings does not accurately communicate the truth of the Bible. You need to ask, what particular hell are you talking about? And who will go to hell? Do you believe God is unfair? Will He not give a genuine opportunity for salvation to everyone on earth? Would God consign individuals made in His image who never heard the gospel to an ever-burning hellfire? No. God is not unfair, and He will give everyone a genuine opportunity. Many professing Christians have been unable to reconcile God's mercy with the idea of an ever-burning hellfire for those who never heard the message of Jesus Christ. As a result, even some evangelicals have come to believe the truth that God will destroy the wicked forever. For example, a Christianity Today magazine article entitled, Is Hell Forever?, states the following, quote, since 1960, several prominent British evangelicals, as well as Canadian theologian Clark Pinnock, have embraced this view, that is, of annihilationism. John Stott has likewise expressed sympathy for annihilationism while choosing to remain agnostic on the question, end of quote. The Evangelical Alliance UK sponsored an extensively researched report titled The Nature of Hell. Christianity Today magazine stated the following, quote, the report, The Nature of Hell, produced by five experts, also acknowledges a growing belief among evangelicals in conditionalism, according to which, after judgment, sinners will be annihilated, something that is seen as a more merciful fate than the pit of unending torment, end of quote. Whatever professing Christians believe, they generally agree that no one can be saved without accepting the message of Jesus Christ. Most Christians know Acts 4, verse 12. Speaking of the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, the Apostle Peter boldly proclaims, Acts 4, verse 12, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Millions and millions of people have not even heard the true gospel or the true name of our Savior. How could they even have a chance to believe? Well, the Bible shows us that all humans will have their opportunity for salvation. For those who have not been called to really understand the truth, there's the white throne judgment described in Revelation, the 20th chapter. We'll discuss the white throne judgment in the conclusion of our program and the hope it will bring to billions of blinded human beings. But first, I'd like to offer you our free eye-opening booklet, "Is This the Only Day of Salvation?" This booklet will give you a real understanding of hell and the afterlife. Without realizing it, millions of professing Christians believe in a God who's unfair. You might ask your minister or priest this question. If the missionary had an accident in the remote jungles and the natives died without hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, are they now burning in hell forever? That's the kind of unfair God many believe in, but that is not the God of your Bible. Your Bible reveals that millions, if not billions of people, will have their very first opportunity for salvation in the white throne judgment described in Revelation 20, verses 11 through 12. If you really want to know the answer to the question, who is burning in hell, this booklet will give you the answers and deeper understanding from your own Bible. You need this vital booklet. Is this the only day of salvation? So pick up the telephone right now and request your free copy. Just ask for the booklet on salvation.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
God's plan of salvation may be difficult for some to believe, but it's really encouraging when you understand it and the hope it brings to all of humanity. Those who have suffered from their own sins, those who have been innocent victims of oppression and genocide, will be resurrected to understand the book of life. They will have their first real opportunity to understand the gospel and the love of God the Father for all humanity. As Peter wrote in 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." In the white throne judgment, billions of formerly blinded human beings will finally learn from the pain of the past, and they'll be given the opportunity to truly repent, believe the gospel, and eventually inherit the kingdom of God. You can read more about this awesome event in our free booklet, "Is This the Only Day of Salvation?" Again, be sure to request your free copy. But what about those who have sealed their conscience and their will to rebel, hate, and sin? Those who have known the truth of God, those who have willfully rejected the forgiveness and love of God, will be burned up in a lake of fire. Notice Revelation 20, verses 14 and 15. Revelation 20, verse 14. "Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Here is the second death, the eternal death penalty from which there is no resurrection. Those who have sealed their mind never to repent or surrender to Jesus Christ will be totally burned up. Now listen to this. The parable of Lazarus and the rich man in Luke 16 illustrates the torment unrepentant sinners will experience before they are totally burned up. Notice that the rich man is about to be thrown into the lake of fire. Notice also that he is in Hades, as it states in the New King James Version, the NIV, and other translations. He is in the grave, not in Gehenna fire. He is resurrected for the ultimate final judgment, as we've just seen in Revelation 20. Yes, the whole earth will be purified by fire. 2 Peter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Those who have sealed their own fate, those who have determined never to repent of their evil attitude and nature, will be totally burned up and will become ashes. They will not be tormented forever. They will receive their eternal punishment, not eternal punishing. Their death, their eternal punishment, will last for eternity. They will be totally annihilated. So who is burning in hell? By now you know the answer. The answer is no one. There is a future lake of fire that will burn up, consume, and annihilate the wicked forever. And that fire will purify the earth for the new heavens and earth promised in Revelation 21. We can all be thankful for God's justice, fairness, and plan of salvation through Christ. There is judgment coming, but there's also hope for your friends and relatives, those whom you thought may have been lost. Be sure to request our eye-opening free booklet, Is This the Only Day of Salvation? We invite you to join us every week on Tomorrow's World. Roderick Meredith, John O'Gwynn, and I will continue to share with you the teachings of Jesus Christ and the exciting end-time prophecies and their meaning. So join us again next week right here at the same time.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. All the literature offered on today's program can be ordered absolutely free off our website at www.tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program is produced by the Living Church of God.